He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I, of course, am your host, as always, every week, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California, home of Northern California's most provocative show, and broadcast throughout the world. I mean, hey, I wonder what people in China are thinking of the show right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a strange show because we have lots and lots of strange news to report. And also, I don't understand how this could happen, but it happened. Just days after being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and days after only being on Raw, the Ultimate Warrior has passed away. Very, very strange scene of events. I just don't understand. And as we progress throughout this show today, if you feel like calling in to share anything about what's going on with the show or what the Ultimate Warrior maybe meant to you, go ahead and call us in. Call us at 347-637-2306. And I tell you, it's going to be one of those days for the show. Because I am telling you, I just can't believe that this has actually happened. We'll talk more about this a little later on. And also, would it seem as though he already knew that this was going to happen to him as it relates to the promo that he had cut on Monday Night Raw? We'll talk about that in the next 30 minutes or so. Stick with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the show now and do some real eye-opening stories that are obviously funnier than others. We begin with this, is that in just 4 months' time, everybody's been talking about it, everybody's been talking about it on social media, and people are they're just excited. They're like, forget spring and summer, let's go right to the fall. And you know, especially for us here in California, we did not get enough rain this year. So, hey, we're a little worried about that. But what everybody's really talking about is that in just 5 months from now, it will be time to restart and rejoin the NFL contention team. And if you feel like doing it, go right ahead. I mean, hey, Just go right ahead. Whatever your favorite team is, whether it be the Denver Broncos, whether it be the New York Giants, it could even be the Seattle Seahawks, for Christ's sake. It does not matter what your team is. The NFL schedule for every single team for the 2014-2015 season later this year, already, just now, just now being released, that the NFL schedule has been released and officially published. I'm not sure if you can download your team's schedule, but you know, I'm pretty sure you can. If they've released it, then evidently it's obvious to everybody that it would totally make sense that if they released the schedule for every single team, then it would also make sense that you could be able to download your team's schedule. So feel free to download away, you know. Just download away. A friend of mine, he actually prints it out, and he'll either hang it up on his wall or put it on his refrigerator or, you know, 8 years ago, they released the little magnetic thing that you can put on your refrigerator to remind you of what your team is doing for whatever particular week it is. And now they've been selling those now for about 10, 15 years now. Started making that up when I was a teenager. So, hey, now you can, if you want to go find those, go ahead and find those. And put that magnetic strip on your refrigerator. Get you pumped up for next season coming around. But ladies and gentlemen, Gene Chizik, if you look at this picture of him on the football field, he has about the same amount of expression for his football team just as he does about his daughter's prom pictures. His daughter Landry, or it could be her twin sister Kennedy, had prom on Saturday night. So naturally, pictures were part of the prom night process. But during one of the pictures, Chizik, who is, as we all remember, the former Auburn coach, made sure to be in the frame and give a disapproving look. And even though everybody said, well, you know, that's his right as a father to do that, and everybody said, to do what? To get involved and just jump right in the photo? When actually it's really not for him. Yeah, he's standing there, you know, off in the background, watching his daughter Landry get a little too impersonal with the guy that she was with at prom. He has been spending some time in the weight room. At least that's what it looks like, doesn't it? The tight, long sleeve shirt that's in the photo, and the positions of his arm folded over his chest are a good way to infiltrate the biceps. At least that's what some analysts have thought this week. But what Chizik has been doing since he was fired at Auburn after the 2012 season, after leading Auburn to a win in the 2011 BCS championship game against Oregon, the Tigers were 3-9 in Chizik's second season following the title, and he was replaced by former Auburn offensive coordinator Gus Mandlin. In Mandlin's first season, Auburn went back to the BCS championship game and lost to Florida State just 3 weeks later. But anyways, back to the picture. The picture was posted by the mother of his daughter's prom date, and she assures us that Gene is a fan of her son. Even though he does a great job, Chizik that is, of selling some potential awkward hard placements in this photo. I tell you, it's really quite revealing of how this goes down. I mean, I know a lot of people, especially the guys that own this channel, Scorekeeper and the Big Dog, they've got daughters of their own, and of course our very own Sonny Clark, a.k.a. the hardest working man in sports, right here on NDB Media. They've all got daughters, but I don't think they're going to actually, you know, invade their daughter's prom pictures to show, you know, I've got more finesse than you, and you're just a little kid, so you better watch where your hands go with my daughter. I don't think that they would even remotely do what he's doing here. But some people are now saying that the picture with him being stuck in there, it's not real. It's been photoshopped. Somebody photoshopped his body to be in the picture. But just like last week, here we are again where nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. My good friend Matt Broderick is in the chat room. I mean, we're starting the show off with this story here. We've got another funny story. DDP has assured me he will be in the chat room shortly, so I'm not really sure what's taking DDP, but, you know, we all understand his condition, so that's understandable. But, I mean, hey, this is, I mean, of course, I've talked with Matt Broderick about this several times. Matt Broderick has talked with me about this. You remember this conversation about us, you know, about us having our own children. I mean, I'll be honest, right here, right now, when I get married, and eventually I will, and do all the normal things that everybody else does, to end up start popping out kids. I'll be honest, I do want girls. That's all. When I do that, I'm not going to jump in my daughter's prom pictures to show this kid off and say, hey, remember who the man in charge around here is. And you know how embarrassing that would be for her? Maybe that's what Coach, you know, Chinsnick felt, that he needed to do that. I need to be in this picture. I mean, so he's basically chaperoning her for no reason at all. Got absolutely nothing to worry about because, as I just said, the person who took these prom pictures is his daughter's, you know, the boy that was allowed to take her to the prom and escorted her and treated her like a gentleman, it was his own mother who took the pictures. So, Coach didn't really need to, you know, put himself in the picture to show that, well, I mean, it almost makes it seem like he's the only parent there. He's not. This is just what it is. Since he's still, you know, this kid is still on his good side, we're guessing that any small talk has not been revealed or revolved around Auburn's 2013 season. And everybody says, well, maybe this kid is just trying to do it just so he can be in good cahoots with the coach. And the coach can help him, Coach Chinsnick can help him you know, get into college football and get his way in there. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. And check out this next story. I hope none of you ever encounter a problem like this. Because check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Broderick, or whoever, wherever you may be listening from, if you approach someone and said, hey, I know that guy. That's Aaron Foster. Man, I'm going to go take a picture with him. What's up, Aaron? Yeah, man, hey. And you hand your cell phone or video camera or some other form of ID to show that you're going to take a picture. And you're like, okay, let's take this picture. And your friend is taking the picture, whether it's through cell phone, camera, or however you take pictures. And then you flaunt yourself on Facebook or whatever media social site you prefer. And you tell the world, hey, I took a picture with Aaron Foster. And everybody goes, cool, cool. But then 24 hours later, you get a tweet or an email on Facebook telling you, is that why you wanted a picture with me? I'm sorry to tell you, but I hate to break the bad news to you, and you probably won't believe me, but I am not Aaron Foster. Well, happy birthday to your dad, then, Matt Broderick. Matt Broderick just told me in the chat room that today is his dad's birthday. That is awesome. Congratulations on another year. I didn't know your dad's birthday was only 2 weeks after mine, Matt. That is cool. That's very cool. I'm considered an Aries. But I don't think this late in April, I don't believe your dad would qualify as an Aries, Matt. Ah, Matt said this was a busy week for birthdays in my family. Wow, that's a lot of birthday cake to be spending money on and party invitations and whatnot. And not only that, I know this next thing I'm about to say is not sports related. But ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do? All the parents are really asking themselves, what the hell am I going to do now? Why? Because next week for the elementary and junior high kids, it's considered spring break / you know, Easter break, but then the following week is actually Easter break, so nobody's got any school for the next 2 weeks. Wow. That's just crazy. But yeah, so anyways, like I was saying, back to where we were at before we get off track. Because running into an NFL athlete is often a once-in-a-lifetime experience. When that moment happens, the fans usually ask said football player for permission to take a picture together. Once that picture is snapped, the evidence is immediately posted to every single social networking service download to the website itself or download from a cell phone. Unfortunately, Jenny Badzer turned her shiny moment into an embarrassing one. She thought she ran into Houston Texans running back Aaron Foster and took a picture with him. She even decided to share that picture on Twitter and tag Foster in it as well. There was only one problem. The guy in the picture was not Foster. In fact, Foster kindly let her know she had the wrong person in his reply. There are so many things wrong with this. with this random person. Did she even ask the imposter if he was Foster? Did he say yes? Or did she ask a random stranger to take a picture with her and he just obliged? Is she the last person you want to give officers a description of someone who recently attacked you? Hopefully, in the future, this young lady will ask more questions the next time she thinks J.J. Watt is sitting in the her hotel room lobby. she's taking pictures with him at a basketball game, and then she took pictures with him after the game. Great picture, and they came out with perfect picture quality taken by her friends. I love great quality pictures. I really do. It's just, now they're not that great. Finding out that the person you thought you were taking pictures with was truly famous until it actually got back. Erin Foster eventually found out about it on Twitter because she's the one fabricating this to everybody on Twitter. Saying that, hey, I took a picture with him. And then he finds out about it and has to calmly tell her, I don't know who that guy is, but that is not me. I'm very, very sorry. I mean, Matt, how would you let this girl down? Easy, or would you do it the hard way and be like, hey, that's not me, damn it. I'm not even nowhere near you. I'm not even in your state. But no, Erin didn't do that. Then she finds out from the team itself that they already left their home city. Their home city is where she lives. It's just they were on the road. So there was no way in hell that Erin Foster was already in the same city as her. They already left. They have another basketball game somewhere else this week. And at first she was like, well, come on now. This has got to be a team joke. You guys are all in on this joke. And the basketball team says, no, it's not a joke. I'm sorry. We're at team meetings and stuff like that. We're in another state right now. Then so he goes back and he adds her on Twitter and starts taking pictures of her, of where he's at, to show proof that, you know, this guy that you took a picture with, in facial features, well, you know, everybody knows that Erin Foster, that he likes to keep his sideburns clean. He started doing that in the 2011 season. But this guy, he really has. He has long sideburns. I'm like the new Erin Foster now. Ever since I was 13 years old, I don't care for sideburns either. I just shave it all off. I don't want it stubbled and looking all weird. Matt Broderick, I know that's not you. I know you enjoy those sideburns and let them get long. I've been seeing your pictures. I won't say anything else live on the air. I'll keep that between me and you. We already know. But I don't like sideburns like that. So, and she didn't realize that. She just was like, hey, you're Erin Foster. Let's take a picture together. So it's both her fault and whoever this guy is. Why didn't he say, wait a minute, what? You thought, I'm not Erin Foster. I'm serious. I can show you my ID. But he even took the glory for taking the picture with her. Totally, totally, really messed up. I mean, I know if that was me, I would be like, wait a minute, hold up, why did you take the picture? No, you're going to have to delete those pictures right now off that camera, or whatever her friends used. And if they say why, well, I'm not that person. I'm not the famous person you thought I was. We don't even have the same eyebrows, okay? So please, delete those pictures. You have the wrong guy. That's what I would have done. Sure, it would have broke her heart, but I would have at least been honest with her and told her the damn truth that the person she thought was taking the picture is not the person she thought. I'm nobody special. I'm nobody famous. I'm not a football player. I love football games. I love watching them. But I'm not a football player. Ladies and gentlemen, please, I don't want this to happen to you. Because right now, her and this guy are the whole laughingstock of the entire sports world this entire week. ESPN even said on ESPN radio, they just really, really put her down and put this guy down. It's all bad on ESPN radio. but still, hey, that's just what really happens. And speaking of how things happen, ladies and gentlemen, just 2 days ago, the world found out that Adrian Payne, the number 5 Michigan State Spartans player, who had been seen this whole entire season on the floor with Lacey Hollingsworth. She's an 8-year-old girl. The 8-year-old cancer patient who lived up to her Twitter name, Adorable Lacey, had just recently died on Wednesday night, according to her family. And ever since last year, she became real cool friends with Michigan State's Adrian Payne and even accompanied him throughout the Spartans' run, but they only made it until the Big Ten Championship and the NCAA tournament because she really believed that they could win. Because this 8-year-old girl who had tremendous amounts of cancer in her body did not care about how much cancer she had in her body, her being 8 years old. Sure, she had the body of, I mean this with all due respect, she had the body of an 80-year-old person because of all the medical condition, because of how much cancer she had in her body. But she didn't care. She told her mom over and over, they're going to win. I know they're going to win, so we need to go to the game. So this all started for the last 2 years. And they'd see each other at the game. And he secretly got together with the Make-A-Wish Foundation last year to have a surprise birthday party, and he would be the surprise. And ever since then, these two have been inseparable. But now she has died. She suffered from many things that they found out, doctors found out in 2011. That even furthermore in 2011 prevented her from dancing. She couldn't even dance anymore. Then they found tumors in her kidney and so many other things. Which then led Mr. Payne to start carrying Hollingsworth because she couldn't walk anymore, she couldn't dance. Even at this year's slam dunk contest back in February, he carried her up a ladder to cut down the net after Michigan State's Big Ten Championship victory that she told the team. She was like the team mascot. She's like, you're going to win the Big Ten tonight. You're going to win. And they went, this girl is amazing for only being 8 years old. But Payne and Hollingsworth appeared frequently together. Most recently, like I said, at the Slam Dunk Championship. in Dallas, Texas. And this is just incredible, but it's also sad at the same time. I really enjoy the picture where she's smiling about the fact that the game's over, but she's asleep. He's like, hey, look. Look, my other best friend, because he's sitting with her on the bench, and he's trying to show her that his other best friend made a huge slam dunk at the slam dunk contest just last week. But by the time he turned around, she was asleep. She fell asleep, and I guess she was tired out. But yeah, it's also a sad thing that she has passed away. I mean, damn, it's just crazy that so many people are, I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick brief break, because even though, like I said, even though I just did this last month, Matt Broderick's going to be like, wait, what did you do last month? Well, last month I had Chinese food, and I'm having Chinese food right now again. Only this time, I have Chinese food, and Matt Broderick is going to hate this, but that's too bad. Go get your own. I have a full box in front of me of Hostess cupcakes. Then again, you guys all might be fans of Twinkies and all that other stupid shit. Give me a break. Twinkies. We'll be right back.
Man, you've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hi! Come on, man!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Oh,
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Yeah, we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Matt Broderick just informing me during commercial break that it's just been confirmed. This is just now coming in brand new news from our very own Matt Broderick in the chat room. Matt Broderick is telling me how he would set up the Taker and Sting match. Sting had just let everybody know he had signed a contract WWE for next year's WrestleMania. Taker and Sting. Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea, Matt. That sounds really cool. Yeah, that would be a great build-up. That would be a great build-up. But ladies and gentlemen, we have some... Like I said, we have strange news to report. The biggest news so far is about TNA. And what the talent and what kind of a whole new fear. Now, most of us, such as myself, are in this job loss ratio of unemployment. That's the kind of fear that is going on backstage at Total Nonstop Action TNA Wrestling. Because the top story right now is TNA talent is reportedly worried that the company has not yet signed a TV renewal deal with Spike TV. And Spike TV has even admitted on their Facebook page, well, of course, they deleted it, because they're trying to assure everyone that they know what the hell they're doing. Yeah, right. That's why you took down your Facebook post. But they had it up this week, said that Spike TV and TNA, we have not come to no new news regarding the status of TNA and Spike TV's relationship. Because the talk backstage now is that one of the reasons why TNA is looking to run the more expensive New York market shows and stuff like that for tapings this entire summer is so the company can impress Spike TV officials. What? They want to impress Spike TV officials? What? Because they think they can impress them because the Northeast shows tend to draw a more rabid TV audience. So it seems to me like what I've been saying, that sooner rather than later, it's going to be bye-bye Spike TV, and then the only thing you have is you don't have any alternative. I mean, well, you do have a choice. If they don't renew their contract with Spike TV, then that's it. The only choice you have to watch, but you don't have to because, you know, this is a free country. We live in America, thank God for that. But that it would be up to you to solely watch WWE Wrestling. Earlier this week, it was reported that there were big plans for a big ROH announcement sometime this week. But according to sources, the company had decided to wait until next week. While not confirmed, it seems as if ROH had decided to hold off on this huge announcement due to all the other big news of the week. The announcement will reportedly move the company forward in a big, big way. Well, good luck to ROH on this big move and this big announcement, since I don't know what it is until next week. Wow. And today is the lucky day for two people. Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella are getting married later today. WWE superstars and divas will be attending the wedding, some of which started arriving yesterday. And check this out. Here are just a few birthdays for this week. Balls Mahoney has turned 42. Goldust has turned 45. Wow. But then again, I really shouldn't be laughing because I'm headed that direction. Harley Race turned 71. I don't have to think about that right now. And also, I know you'll hear it on SmackDown tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because everybody in Australia, all my Australia friends, if you're listening right now in Australia, I know you are, so you can plug your ears for about 3 seconds on this, because I know you already saw Raw. Next week, Raw has already played in Australia. The rest of the world, like us, we have to wait until this coming Monday to find out. But for those of you that are going to see SmackDown with DirecTV tonight, is that they made the announcement on SmackDown for everybody that has Dish Network, that the official announcement has been made on SmackDown, and they will mention it tonight for everybody else that would see SmackDown through Comcast and other sources, but that the announcing team will say on SmackDown that this Monday night on Raw, they're going to pay tribute to the Warriors' memory and legacy in professional wrestling. And going back to the whole television deal thing, I know it's not in my notes, but I did see a surprising turn this week on social media for Wednesday. Because I've been talking with some of Northern California's, well, actually all of California's, best referees that play a role in all the promotions all over California. Because everybody here, Matt Broderick, I don't know how everybody feels about this in Chicago or if they know about it. But so far, everybody on social media and with people that I know from independent wrestling were shocked to find out, what in the world? Where's Main Event? I don't see Main Event on my TV lineup here. Or for those of us that have Comcast where we can push the menu button and we know what's going to come on television 3, 4, or 5 hours ahead of time. Same thing. Main Event is not listed. Which is when I broke the news to some of them. I left comments for them on their pages. And some of my other friends on Twitter. I said, hey, I guess you guys didn't hear the news. That it was reported last week, and I even said it last week right here on the show, that ION has decided to abruptly, for no reason at all, abruptly end all ties with WWE. They have ended the television deal, and they're not going to renew it. But Vince McMahon is not worried about that because now they've got the network, which means since Main Event, it's not, you know, Raw or SmackDown, it's not even on the same par as NXT. So in other words, if you're a big fan of Main Event on ION Television, let me tell you again, you've got to go to the network for that. I'm sorry. Everything is headed towards the network, and our very own Sonny Clark said, oh, so now we have to pay more in tuition to pay to see things like this on the network. Sonny Clark, it appears to be headed that way. But I don't think this is. I can see Matt Broderick jumping up and down in his chair right now. Calm down. I don't think this will be the actual end of seeing Raw or SmackDown on cable television networks. I mean, because they've been in such good working relationship with USA Network, I don't think that's going to go anywhere. I think that will stay with cable. I don't think we'll have to worry about going to the network to actually watch Monday Night Raw. Same thing with SmackDown. They've been with Sci-Fi for the last 4 years now. And they're doing really good with their working relationship with Sci-Fi Network. It's just the way it is. But ladies and gentlemen, please. Time. It's now time to go there. Because I tried to get other wrestling shows that I know to talk about this, and even the professional ones. I said, no, we're not discussing that on our show. Fine, I'll do it on my show. We are now going to get serious, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to discuss this for the next 10, 15 minutes here about WrestleMania. And I know the biggest thing, the number one thing is always first, right? Of course, I'm talking about The Undertaker and him losing the streak. He is now undefeated. For once in his life, he's undefeated. And I know, that's the number one thing that should be talked about. But this year is different. Since we have strange news, since I just delivered all this strange news to you and you heard everything, I just now thought about it. Think of this part of the show as an impromptu part of the show, because it just popped into my head just 2 seconds ago of what needs to take place in this WrestleMania review part of the show for the next 10 or 15 minutes. And then, of course, we'll go right into The Ultimate Warrior and, of course, Raw and what took place on Impact Wrestling. We'll still go there. But first things first. The first thing about this pay-per-view is that Vince McMahon, Michael Hayes, Michael Cole, and, of course, Jerry Lawler and JBL. This was their infinite plan that thought that they would bring the best out. Ah, DDP, there you are. What's up, man? They thought this would be the best part about promoting what they thought should be promoted, and then they changed it. I mean, go back to last week on Monday Night Raw. They clearly said before the pay-per-view goes live, we're going to have a Q&A session. We're going to have a panel discussion. And our very own former employee, good old J.R. Jim Ross, and several others are going to talk about that. Other thing that they promised the world, Michael Cole said last week on Raw, if you've already ordered the pay-per-view, you will get what everybody else gets. You will get to see the pre-show. Well, you know what? About this WrestleMania panel shit that they promised, they lied about it. The pre-show did take place, but it didn't take place for pay-per-view buyers. I know, because I was at my friend's house in the other apartment building just behind us. He invited a bunch of us over to watch the pay-per-view on his nice digital-tized 55-inch panel flat-screen television. It was beautiful. The whole time that the pre-show was going on WWE's network, pay-per-view buyers, such as my friend behind me in the other apartment, we only saw the build-up that lasted one whole hour, but they kept repeating the same thing over and over again. you know, the whole promo included, you know, the same thing that we've been seeing about Hogan talking about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And it's like, okay, can you get to this? And so everything with the pre-show, well, actually with the stuff that we saw to promote the pay-per-view, that started at 2:30 in the afternoon. 2:30, so we thought, well, maybe they meant 3 o'clock. Maybe we'll see this panel discussion at 3 o'clock with JR and everybody else. No, that didn't happen. The pay-per-view started out at 4 o'clock. But nobody saw the pre-show. Pay-per-view buyers, at least, didn't see the pre-show. If you were watching it on the network, then good luck to you. You were able to see the actual pre-show. But everything else was a damn lie. The other thing about this pay-per-view, I had texted Matt Broderick about this on Sunday night. I said, yeah, this is an incredible pay-per-view, but doesn't it seem like they're rushing it? I mean, because they went bam, 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 bam. The only promos that they actually did was backstage. But as far as the actual action that always takes place in the ring, it did take place in the ring. But see, the thing of it is that they said that they were being pressured by the pay-per-view company to do all this as far as rushing the pay-per-view. Bullshit. That's what I call it. I call it bullshit. The pay-per-view company is going to be richer than the actual eventist running on their pay-per-view feeds. Which means they will make more money than whoever's promoting themselves. And in this case, it was Vince McMahon and his company, WWE. Sure, we know Vince is a certified billionaire. But the pay-per-view company itself, they become a trillionaire. They do. They get more royalties off showing it because people have ordered it. Through whatever pay-per-view provider that you have, that money, 120% of the money, I know it's hard to believe, but 120% of the money goes to WWE. And they can pay their talent or whoever they want to pay with that money. The other 80% of the money that gets ordered by pay-per-view buyers goes to the pay-per-view company, which means they have more to use and give it to their employees. So they're not worried about how this is going to roll out. I mean, if I'm in charge of a pay-per-view company, I'm going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to sit back, relax. I mean, sure, I'm going to monitor any technical problems that might come up. And there was a glitch on the WWE Network. Vince McMahon had said, well, we apologize for that. We will try to make sure we never have technical difficulties again. Because the whole time that the pre-show matches was going on the WWE Network, it kept cutting in and out, and they lost sound, and other things were going wrong, and, you know. Congratulations to Antonio Cesaro, who actually won the 30-man over-the-top rope Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and he got a nice trophy out of it. A very nice trophy. You know, the biggest thing, though, finally, Daniel Bryan. Yes! Yes. Daniel Bryan becomes the champion. Now we see he is the face now of the company. He is the one that everyone will look to now. I mean, in so many other great matches that happened that night. I mean, the tag team title match, that was just so well done. Everything was just beautiful. I mean, the matches kept going on. The crowd was so rabid and so into it. The same thing that's been happening the last six to 8 weeks on Raw. I know that there are children in the audience, but you can't hear the children. You couldn't even hear them at the pay-per-view. That was beautiful. But now here's the last thing, like I said. Elephant in the room that nobody wanted to address. So I'm taking it upon myself to publicly right now address the elephant in the room that nobody wanted to do, so I'm going to do it right here on my show. Everybody said, well, you know, the Undertaker losing his streak, it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. Because here's the real irony of the elephant in the room that nobody wanted to mention. And that is this. You can check this out. We've indeed had some strange news. Well, Vince McMahon is strange in his own way because he's getting older. He's trying to manipulate the system by manipulating us. Who are putting money in your pocket, Vince. Hey, my neighbor, he paid a whole $65 to $70 almost for your pay-per-view. But then 3 hours later, you know, because 3 hours later he came back and the crew is still cleaning up and, you know, they're putting all the equipment away. And people from certain wrestling sites had stuck around because, hey, they wanted to wait for Vince McMahon to come back. They thought, well, he's going to have to come back because, I mean, obviously his limo drivers are here. And they finally got him. They said, Vince, how did you explain this, what happened with The Undertaker? And it pisses me off that nobody wanted to talk about this on their own wrestling shows this week. Not even the professional wrestling shows that are on TV and stuff. And Vince finally said, well, you know, The Undertaker lost because we had communication problems. The writers misunderstood what I said. The agent in charge of tonight's pay-per-view, and no, it wasn't Hogan, the agent in charge of the pay-per-view completely misunderstood what I said in my headset. To that person, that way, that road agent could relay that message to the referee, you know, because they all wear earpieces. So they all misunderstood me. Yeah, that's what happened, and The Undertaker losing tonight was a total mistake. Communication problems. Communication problems, my ass. And it's true what Paul Heyman said on Raw. He did collapse backstage. The Undertaker had to be rushed to a nearby hospital. And Vince McMahon went with him, and he left Stephanie and Triple H in charge of the rest of the pay-per-view. Oh, so now once the mistake has been made, he bailed out and went to the hospital. Sure, not to say he wasn't concerned about The Undertaker, but he thought it would give him a chance to escape, which also led him to believe and think, well, the crew should be cleaning up by now, so I'm going to head back to the arena. And all the flauntless wrestling news reporters, they like to ask me all these strange questions. They'll all be gone. They won't be there. Boy, was Vince McMahon wrong. He gets back to the arena, and that's when he was shocked to see them still there. And they weren't going to leave until they got a complete answer, and they did. But his response was not even memorable at all. He said the reason The Undertaker lost is because we had communication problems, and it was a mistake. This should have never happened, but it did, and it will go down in history as him losing for the first time ever in WrestleMania history. You know, in real life, nobody wants to piss off Mark Calloway, a.k.a. The Undertaker. He is the only guy that has been with this company from day one when he made his debut at the 1991 Survivor Series. He didn't jump to the NWA. He didn't jump to, WCW. He didn't jump to ECW. He didn't jump to any wrestling organization. He stayed because he knew that if all these other companies are going out, the only company that's here is where I'm at right now. And he said, Vince, I guess this probably means that I should slowly think about walking away. And Vince said, no, that's not it. That's not it at all. But Mark Calloway didn't want to hear it. The ring crew is still cleaning up, and they're still doing their thing to get the hell out of this arena. Mark Calloway didn't even wait for his limo. He got in a rental car driven by another wrestler. Nobody knows who that is, but he took off in somebody else's rental car, and he left. I think they've really pissed him off this time. But I guarantee you he's not going to go walking off the job and doing the same thing that, CM Punk is doing right now. This was the biggest flaw in WrestleMania history. I'll give this year's WrestleMania an 8. Just so Vince McMahon won't cry. There. WrestleMania this year is an 8. I don't know what DDP and Matt Broderick and all the rest of you in the chat room are going to give it, but that's what I give it. And the rest of you listening live, who knows? You might have given it a 5. I give WrestleMania an 8. But still, problems such as saying that there were communication issues, I don't believe it. Not for a second. Anyway, now we move into 24 hours later at Monday Night Raw. Daniel Bryan had opened with a fantastic pay-per-view. He opened with a great promo, forward promo, that almost sounded as realistic as all the shoot promos that they did back in the 90s. Yes, Matt, that's right. I give it 8 out of 10. Matt Broderick said, I would say that's about right. That's about right. DDP's like, hold on, let me think about that. DDP, you've got a whole hour to think before we go off the air. But, of course, his promo gets interrupted by Triple H, who told Daniel Bryan, go ahead, just get it out of your system. This is only a moment. Because you're going to wrestle again for that world title. But you're going to wrestle one person in particular. Me. So as we prepare for this main event that, we all know never happened, the Wyatts took on John Cena, Big E Langston, and Sheamus. The Wyatts win. And Daniel Bryan had said something in his promo because that was related to the fans. He said, you create this. You do all this. And you're responsible. It's a new millennium, but you're responsible for now our outcomes. And I believe that the fans that night in New Orleans were. And I'll explain that a little later on. Because of the chants that they were doing for the Wyatt family. I couldn't believe it. Santino and Emma took on Fandango and Summer Rae. Santino and Emma win. Paul Heyman then came out and he talked about The Undertaker. And halfway through he said, well, we're going to stop here, okay? And I'm going to do a shoot promo right from here, right from my gut. And he talked about what had happened when they went backstage, how The Undertaker collapsed and people stood up and applauded him backstage and nobody applauded Brock Lesnar. And you heard me mention earlier that it's true. This really did happen because they had to take Undertaker to the hospital right away. That's when Vince McMahon told Stephanie and Triple H, you're in charge now. You're in charge of the overall. You're going to oversee the pay-per-view. But so-and-so is still the agent for the pay-per-view, and I'm still the chairman of the board, but I'm going to go with The Undertaker to the hospital right now. But him doing a quote-unquote shoot promo, that felt so good to hear a shoot promo. Yeah, about that. They even talked about that. The announcers talked about that, Matt. I said that Randy Orton basically screwed himself up in the triple threat. Yeah, he did. He fucked himself up. An RKO right on the monitor. DDP said, 7 out of 10 for WrestleMania for me. Well, that's a pretty good way to rate them, DDP. Yes, Matt. That was funny when he did that. The Usos took on Randy Orton and Batista. But, of course, as you will see, this was nothing short of anything special because it resulted in a countout. Because the writers are trying to... They're slowly putting the Usos in the same position that the writers have been putting Daniel Bryan through. So, actually, never mind, I'm not going to say that. All I'm going to say is about the Usos right now, because the writers are trying to get them in the same predicament that Daniel Bryan is in right now. But all I'm going to say about the Usos is expect the unexpected, because it's coming. It's coming. I've been reading about what the writers have planned, and well, some of it's questionable. The others, I'm not even sure about. Sandow took on RVD. RVD wins, and I thoroughly enjoyed throughout the entire match. All you heard was RVD and the ECW chant for RVD. That was beautiful. I couldn't believe that. Wade Barrett took on Rey Mysterio. And again, I mean, you guys in New Orleans, you really, really stepped up your game. Everybody that, you know, it's been happening. I guess 2014 is the year that wrestling fans are finally deciding that you're going to give us back what we want. We're not going to stand for this anymore. And ever since the year started, whether it was on Raw or SmackDown, fans have truly started to go back to the way things were in the 80s and 90s. And I believe, this is just my opinion, but I believe that the rest of the world, from the Philadelphia crowd, we all followed and mirrored the Philadelphia crowd because they're so rabid, they're so out of control. The New York crowd, whenever wrestling comes to New York, the New Yorkers, they don't care for bullshit wrestling. They will riot at any wrestling event. They don't care if it's an independent company, TNA, or WWE. They don't care for bullshit wrestling. And for the entire world, we've all taken on that approach. That we're going to be like the fans in Philadelphia. And we're going to be so rabid and vocal about it like the fans in New York. And 2014 has just been that type of year to do that. And it's beautiful. And you know what? Everybody says, well, that's messed up. You know, we've got children watching this program. Why didn't they bleep out and edit all the cussing from the fans and stuff? This is unacceptable. And yes, today is Friday, but it was reported that early this morning that the parents' rights group of New Orleans have told Vince McMahon and WWE somehow go back and change and edit last week's Raw. That is not going to happen, I assure you. Matt Broderick had to leave us. Take care, Matt. Zack Ryder versus Alexander Rusev. Alexander, he wins. I love Alexander, but like I did for the Royal Rumble, I applauded everything he did at the Royal Rumble. Beautiful showing of talent in the Rumble. I'm just not sure about this woman that he's with this larger-than-life accent, with all due respect, that does go to a woman who's very fat and obnoxious. But she's a skinny role woman. But she... Never mind. But Alexander wins against Zack Ryder. And it is with great sadness, even though I'm not a fan of Warrior, I never have been. But out of respect for you guys, Ultimate Warrior has passed away. I said it at the top of the show, the guy who was just inducted into the Hall of Fame played a small part on both WrestleMania and on Raw. But on Monday Night Raw, he said, when a man breathes his last breath, when his heart stops pounding, he knows he's run his race. So now everybody wants to know, did the Ultimate Warrior know something physically was wrong with him on Monday Night Raw when he did this promo? Because I have to say that even though I did not see the Hall of Fame ceremony on Saturday like everybody else did, but, you know, we all got to see it because it came on right after Raw. And for the first 10 minutes of his induction ceremony, being accompanied by his two young daughters, I thought they were older, DDP. I really did. But they're not. They're not even old enough to take care of themselves. But the Ultimate Warrior has now passed away. I mean, and there's even an article about it, about, you know, how one-third of the WrestleMania 5 competitors are now dead. It's true. They're not around anymore. There is just so much within this whole thing about Ultimate Warrior and how his death had shadowed the world in a strange, strange way. Some people are saying that this is the saddest week for the world of professional wrestling. Well, of course, number one. Number one is always going to be the number one saddest thing about this week for wrestling in 2014. Everybody will always remember it for years to come with how stupid and how much irony was laid to rest with Undertaker losing at WrestleMania. But the number two thing is the Ultimate Warrior passing. The death of the Ultimate Warrior was just the latest grim reminder that professional wrestlers continue to drop dead from something other than old age at an alarming rate. The pinnacle of the Warrior's career was WrestleMania 4 on April 1st, 1990 at the Sky Dome in Toronto, Canada. That was the building that Warrior defeated Hulk Hogan in the main event to win the championship. Warrior, said by many analysts, is the 12th wrestler who competed at WrestleMania 4 to have died. One-third of the card's working roster for WrestleMania 4, the oldest, was just 63 years old. As a point of reference for you who have truly, truly followed the sport just as much as I have, but have devoted more time to it more than I have, here's a point of reference for you. Of the 44 starting players from that year's Super Bowl between the 49ers and the Broncos, only one had died, and that was Denver defensive end Ron Holmes, who was 48 when he passed away in 2011 from diabetes and culinary issues. But reasons for wrestlers dying early are due to grueling travel schedules, painkiller abuse, steroid abuse have been well documented. The passing of the Warrior at age 54 from what is suspected to be a heart attack just days after his induction to WWE's Hall of Fame only now underscores this issue. And of course, if you've been following along on social media about the Ultimate Warrior's death, you've seen the picture as well as myself, that there's a picture going around on social media right now. It's a picture of heaven, or what people perceive heaven to look like, of the Ultimate Warrior standing at the bottom of heaven, and Macho Man standing at the top of heaven and saying, "Welcome. Let's have our rematch from WrestleMania 6. Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man Randy Savage." And of course, there was a little inserted joke that said, the picture said, "If you hear lots of thunder tonight, you know that Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man Randy Savage are having their big rematch in the heavens." So on behalf of the Sports Opinion Show, I'd like to send my condolences to the friends and no doubt the family of the Ultimate Warrior. My condolences to all of you. But let's get back into this. AJ Lee's big, huge victory win at WrestleMania made her an instant sensation now overnight, literally by 24 hours. But she wasn't the only one. Newest recruit, Peggy, who has only been in developmental at the WWE's new headquarters in Florida. She's only been in developmental since February. But because she did so well in developmental, on March 3rd, they saw and felt that she was ready for NXT. So she's been on NXT, she's been learning, she's been training. She's been showing her skills at NXT, and she did so well 2 weeks ago that I guess they thought, well, you know what, she doesn't need to be here. She's outdone everybody in this class of all the NXT rookies, but she's the one at the top of her class right now, and we know that, we recognize that. We're going to put her on Raw, no question. And they did. She came down on Monday Night Raw to try and congratulate AJ Lee, and she said even though she wasn't in the Divas Battle Royal Invitational, that she saw how much AJ Lee feels about being the champion. But of course, AJ Lee turned heel, and well, she's always been a heel, but you know what I mean. So I don't need your congratularity, you know, snogginess. I don't need it. I am the champion, and I'm the one who's carrying the women's division, and I have. For 292 days. But actually, there's a little side note you should know about that. You know how WWE screwed up the 100th episode of Raw? Actually, the 1,000th episode of Raw. When really, it was the 102nd episode of Raw. They were a week behind. The same thing with AJ Lee's title reign. It's actually 392 days. She said, well, I can't go out there on TV and say that. That it's 292 days. We have a lot of smart wrestling fans, and they will count the days from when you became the champion until you lost it. Until you lose that title, they're going to keep counting, just like they did with CM Punk. And the writers said, no, there's nothing to worry about. They tried to assure her of that, but backlash keeps getting sent back to WWE on Twitter about how bad their counting infractions are. I mean, I know somebody is definitely in charge of all the days that she's been champion, but you know what? I know somebody who can really, really count and keep track of all the days that she's really been champion. It doesn't have to be the exact number like it is in real life. I mean, they can give it the real life number, but they can round it out to a few numbers down the line. And the person I'm going to personally hire for that job? DDP, you're hired. You're the new person in charge of number assessment. Since WWE can't figure out their shit straight. Just like they did in 2010. They had Michael Cole say, we're officially arrived. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. This is our 1,000th episode. When actually they were a week behind. Can anybody in this company count? Jesus Christ, I'm not good at math, but at least I can count. But anyway, putting Peggy on Raw was a brilliant idea. And Jerry Lawler was like, well, she's not ready. She shouldn't even be here. But the bitch slap to the face by AJ Lee was enough. Pissed her off and she's beginning to take AJ Lee down. She's a feisty young girl. I like that in women. DDP's not going to admit in the chat room, but he likes those kind of women too. Just kidding, DDP. But the moment she turned the corner, she did this, I don't even know what to call it. The announcers didn't have a name for it. And when the announcers don't have a name for it, that means the writers don't have a name for it. When the writers don't have a name for it, they look to Triple H, Stephanie, and Vince. What the hell do we call that? And from the moment that happened, Vince and Triple H and Stephanie are backstage on Monday night, and they went, we don't know what to call that. Don't ask us. Well, you're in charge of the company. Think it over. Have a meeting with all of your executive team. You'll come up with the name. Because that was brilliant. She did this weird arm takeover. And no, it's not. It's not like the variation that they use in MMA. It's not even the same variation that Owen Hart used when he was around. And no, it is certainly not the variation of the Yes Lock. What she did was something cutthroat and different. She, like, twisted both of AJ Lee's arms behind her and then proceeded to hold AJ Lee's neck up and pull on her chest, which forced AJ Lee to tap out. And she becomes the new women's champion. That was brilliant, brilliant booking. Brilliant work by the agent, whoever the agent in charge was this week. Cesaro, Antonio Cesaro, I cannot believe it. More swerves. Hulk Hogan presents Antonio Cesaro with the over-the-top rope Andre the Giant trophy. But of course, Zeb Coulter, a.k.a. Dutch Mantel, was trying to do some speaking for Cesaro and basically saying that if it wasn't for Zeb Coulter, Cesaro would not be where he is and he wouldn't be standing in the ring as the winner of the over-the-top rope battle royal. But then Cesaro snatched the microphone out of Zeb's hand and he said, "You know what? I appreciate you doing this for me, but that's not who I am. I'm not a ruthless, mean asshole. So you know what? I'll take it from here. I got this." And Zeb Coulter said, "You got this? What do you mean you got this?" And Paul Heyman's music hits. And of course, Coulter's saying, What the hell? What the hell is this? What is going on here?" And, you know, Cesaro and Paul Heyman are waving at each other. Paul Heyman finally gets in the ring. And it doesn't hit Zeb Coulter until they start shaking hands and hugging. He goes, "Oh, hell no." Zeb Coulter's reaction, "Oh, hell no. Are you leaving me for Paul Heyman?" And he grabs the microphone and he says, "Yes, you've helped me tremendously, but it's time to move on. I am now a Paul Heyman guy." And you know that Paul Heyman and Zeb Coulter, whose real name is Dutch Mantel, it's almost like we're about to see the battle of the two best independent promoters in the world. Dutch Mantel was the promoter back in the 60s and 70s of Smoky Mountain Wrestling and another promotion that was a part of the National Wrestling Alliance in the Tennessee area. Paul Heyman, of course, was running ECW at the time. So I'm like, hey, a war between former promoters. And it was brilliant the way it went down. But then it got all ruined. Jack Swagger comes in and ruins the moment, tries to beat the hell out of Cesaro, and he carelessly takes the Andre the Giant trophy and smashes it, destroys it to pieces. So finally, Zeb Coulter had enough. He said, "I want a referee here, out here right now, damn it. I need a referee out here." Now, I know that the tag team title match was done in a countout. Why would you have a countout again on the same show? Because, yes, Jack Swagger versus Antonio Cesaro also, just like the tag team title match, resulted in a countout. Okay, so maybe I shouldn't give thumbs up to the agent in charge. Also, Triple H versus Daniel Bryan, that did not happen. Kane. And, of course, Randy Orton and Batista all came down to the ring to beat the hell out of Daniel Bryan. And then Triple H came out signifying that he was ready, finally ready, to take on Daniel Bryan for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. But that would soon be interrupted by The Shield. Earlier in the night, Stephanie had told everybody, we're all on the same page, we all need to get along, and our biggest problem right now is this dumbass yes movement that needs to be taken care of. You need to help my husband become the champion tonight. But man, the stare down as Raw went off the air. It looked like The Shield is going to get into a war. Evolution members. But don't worry, you won't have to worry. I don't think they're going to start announcing them as Evolution again, because I believe the name Evolution probably died, but they'll still use it in references as far as promos. beautiful. Just beautiful the way that happened. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That's the best Monday Night Raw so far. So, yeah. Very quickly, we're going to do this, and then we'll come back and discuss Impact Wrestling and what the new low is, what the catastrophe is behind the scenes, because it looks like come April 24th, it could spell the end. Will it spell the end for TNA Wrestling on the 24th, which is in just 3 weeks? We'll find out right after this.
Hey, you there. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. Would you like to hear the best interviews, the most fun, and the best in wrestling? Then join Eric Williams and the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show every Thursday night right here on NDB Media 2. Why? Because as Eric Williams always says, 2 is better than 1. Check him out every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That, of course, is 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for those of you that live here on the West Coast like me. So check him out every Thursday night. You will not regret it. Join the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show Thursday night on NDB Media 2.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Oh, man. The show is almost coming to an end again. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe it. Temperatures have just picked up. I don't know if I'm pretty sure temperatures have picked up in Texas, right, DDP? I'm sure temperatures have definitely picked up in Texas. Over here it says it's 84 degrees outside. The sun is starting to come out, but still. Now they're talking about rain. Good grief. No rain. California, well, I know California needs the rain, but I just hate getting soaked. You know what I mean? And speaking of soaked and strange, you can clearly tell now, looking at it, see the full spectrum, the full picture. Because running down the wrestling news topics of the day, one of those news reports had to do with the fact that, well, most of the TNA talent now found out that, well, because, you know, TNA management tried to, you know, keep this, they tried to keep it hush-hush, they tried to keep this on the down low, as people say. It's like if something fantastic happened in DDP's life where, you know, let's pretend that DDP, you know, is going to get married. And if DDP doesn't want everybody to know he's going to get married, he's going to say, hey, keep that on the low, man. Keep that on the low. Keep that down here, down on the low. I mean, DDP, that could happen someday. It could happen for me, too. I'm not going to keep that quiet, though. I'll be like, hey, I'm getting married. But this is what TNA management tried to do. They tried to keep this on a low profile to make sure nobody knew about this. Because the reality stark of this strange news, and this is even stranger news. You want to hear the strange part about this? Is that their plan was to keep this a huge secret, and then the secondary plan for that would be, and this is probably, well, no, it can't be Vince Russo's idea, because he's not there anymore. Unless they stupidly went behind our back as wrestling fans, DDP, and rehired him. I'm not sure whose idea this was, but the secondary plan from the first plan is to keep this quiet and don't tell nobody that TNA and Spike TV have not exactly come to a new contract deal agreement to keep us on the air with Spike TV. Then the secondary plan was, well, if this thing falls through and we can't come to a deal with Spike TV, then we're just going to wait until the very, very last minute, and then we'll start handing out pink slips. What kind of plan is that? You're just going to walk up to people and go, we're going out of business, and here's your pink slip. Well, when do we go out of business? Oh, we go out of business in 3 days. So don't even plan on coming for television over the next 2 days. We're out of business. Dumbass idea was this. That to keep people from in the loop about what was going on behind the scenes, and then tell each other, well, if we do a lot of business, we'll give everybody a pink slip 3 or 4 days before we actually do go out of business. That's not enough time for anybody to look for a job, you know, elsewhere. I mean, if they went out of business tomorrow, and if some of the talent tried to call and contact WWE, or even ROH, they would say, sorry, our doors are closed at this time. We have a full roster. I mean, sure, some of the talent can probably go back to the lower independent promotions, but they need to be where the money's really at due to the fact that they've been on television, they've got all this national exposure over the years. But no, seriously, really? Really? Whose dumbass idea was this to... The first plan is, don't tell anybody that we don't have a new contract and our contract negotiators are not really negotiating with Spike TV. If they drop us, then the second plan is, we're just going to give you a pink slip before we actually give you a pink slip, DDP. That would be like me telling DDP, you know what, the company's going under. We're actually going out of business tomorrow, DDP, but anyways, here's your pink slip, and here's your final paycheck. Don't bother reporting for work. And DDP and the rest of you guys in the chat room are going to be like, wait, what? Matt, what is wrong with you? You're just now telling us? Why didn't you give us a two-week notice or something like that, or an even longer notice? That way we can actually prepare to look for work elsewhere. I don't know whose dumbass idea this was, but this is not a smart business plan. But speaking of strange, even stranger things are happening, and what happened last night was proof. A 10-man gauntlet match, and the winner would be the number one contender. Why on earth did you book this? Did you TNA idiot official book this at the very first match? I would have had this be the semi-main event. That's what these type of matches are supposed to be. And then the main event. Welcome, guest 1448. This is almost as bad as, you know, the world finding out about the Ultimate Warrior dying. But, I mean, a gauntlet match in the first 10 seconds of the show. Last week was even worse, remember? They only had 3 matches on Impact Wrestling. Gail Kim versus Brittany versus ODB versus Angelina Love. Gail Kim ends up being the winner because they say that she's getting favoritism backstage. And she's got her hands in somebody's pocket. It's obvious. The Bromance took on the Wolves. We almost didn't have that match because the Bromance tried to tell MVP, you know, our secondary tag team partner is not here tonight. So, yeah, we can't wrestle the Wolves. And MVP said, well, your third man better get here to wrestle with his tag team partner, or I will strip you of your tag team championship right now. Of course, the Wolves did win, but they won via disqualification because the Bromance, as always, cheated. The world title match, Magnus versus Eric Young, was supplemental. It made a proving ground as to why the company is on television. Eric Young wins and now is the champion. So now the shorter guys, here we are years later, and now the shorter guys are just being recognized for it. And I can't believe that after all this time that finally it was the return of Dixie Carter coming back to television. And she went off and told several talent members that, I am still the president. I'm no longer your boss, but I am still in charge of this company. But MVP, of course, would put a stop to that, and reminding everybody that it was his team that beat her team at lockdown. But I want to say something about this right now, about the fact of how the fans' reaction was. Like I said, if you were in New Orleans for Monday Night Raw, that was, I can't believe what I heard with all the chants. Like I said, parent rights groups are meeting today. Right now, they've been meeting with WWE officials all morning long because parent rights groups want WWE officials to go back and edit this past Monday night's Raw because of all the cussing and the outlandishment. They're not going to edit that. It's already been produced. It's already been set. So there's nothing parent rights groups can do about this. But what's even more shocking, I'm used to the chants and the vehicular language and the threatening to have a riot at a wrestling event. Okay with me. No, I'm not one of those people who practice rioting. I don't endorse it, but in some cases it has to be endorsed to allow to say, hey, go ahead and do this. But the strange thing about this was, both on Monday Night Raw in New Orleans and with TNA Wrestling taking place in Florida this week, Florida fans and New Orleans fans, you had something in common this week. Because I couldn't believe that everybody from Monday Night Raw was cheering for the heels. They were so ecstatic when the Shield came out and actually protected Daniel Bryan. So it left that in some of the fans' minds that, you know, the fans didn't need a second to think about their decision. Sure, before the show started, I'm sure many went, well, I only cheer for the baby faces. I don't cheer for the heels because the heels are bad guys. But then once the show started and once everything got underway with the first match of the night, the Wyatts taking on John Cena, Big E, and Sheamus, that set the crowd in motion. And by the time it was over, remember, it ended with the Shield facing off with Triple H, Kane, and Batista, and Randy Orton. And like I said earlier, it was strange to see that, but it was cool. Because now it looks like it's going to be the Shield versus Evolution. But like I said earlier, too, they're not going to reuse the name Evolution because, you know, everybody, of course, in real life is going their own separate ways as far as company is concerned. But it was the same thing with TNA. The thing that set the crowd in motion was the 10-man gauntlet match. And that was strange in itself. So now what? Now what do you do with that? Well, gee, I don't know. I just work here. Well, if you work there, and hopefully you're in the loop with management, because that will really, really help people. Look, it's not strange when you do something like this. And it's going to be strange this coming Monday on Raw, because they are going to do a special tribute to the Ultimate Warrior. And I still have the question that must be brought up again. The Ultimate Warrior promo on Monday Night Raw, did he know that this was going to happen to him, that he would ultimately pass away, leaving two young daughters behind? And in the case of WrestleMania, of Vince McMahon telling the world, you know, The Undertaker losing was a mistake. It was a mistake because we had communication issues that never got back to the referee in his headset. Well, I said it earlier today, and I'm going to say it again. That's bullshit. And this incompromisable plan of TNA telling the world, well, we don't know if how this thing's going to go. We haven't made a new TV deal with Spike TV. But don't tell the wrestlers that. And our second plan is, if we do go out of business, We're just going to give everybody a 3-day notice. Another stupid idea. How much stranger is the world going to be? I don't know, but I know it's going to happen to TNA faster than it's going to happen to WWE or any other promotion. Trust me, it will. And that's strange in itself. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. DDP, you are the man. Matt Broderick, thank you for joining us as well. Guest 1448. If you'd like to join in early tomorrow morning, Sports Talk with the guys that own this channel, they'll be here for you early in the morning. But I'm out of here for now. Peace. Have a good weekend.
Getting to the top rope. And it's in it. Frog flash. Come on. Get it. Do it. Two. Yes. It's champion.
He looked and he thought dead John Hancock on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, isn't that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.